Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my daughter and co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Well, Heidi, we've got a really interesting show today, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, this is a show that's near and dear to my heart because our guest lost his father, and we're going to talk about father loss. And as you know, Mom, my father and your spouse died in 2020. So that's something that I am still kind of grappling with, and it's been a journey. Who am I without my dad? You know, it's been a big identity question. So we will talk more, and we are going to talk today, Mom, about the effects of grief on your well-being. And I love that topic because it does impact our well-being in so many ways. But before we launch into this, I want to just give a shout out for your new book. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the name? And I know all proceeds are going to the Open to Hope Foundation. So please go out there and get it. It is a phenomenal book.
The name of it is Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating, and it is written by myself and my partner, Dr. Frank Powers.
We will be talking about the effects of grief on your well-being, and our guest today is John LaFrance. John began his career in the funeral industry in 2011, after more than 7 years in real estate. When John's father died, it was emotionally stressful planning his funeral. And at the time, John was only 24 years old. Through this experience, John understood the need for individualized pre-planning and aftercare services. John founded the Domani Group with a vision to help funeral homes across the country improve their operations and grow their businesses. Welcome to our podcast, John.
Thank you so much for having me, Heidi and Gloria. It's good to be here.
It's nice having you on. And wow, this is an important show because I think people are so unaware about the effects of grief on their health and what can be carried as trauma in the body. You know, when I was teaching at the University of Rochester in the nursing school, I worked with Georgia Engel. And Georgia Engel was a person who developed the biopsychosocial model where he linked all things with grief. And before that, this was what, 50 years ago, nobody talked about the trauma of grief and how you carry it in your body, but George did. And the reason he found it was because he had a twin brother, and every time there was his brother's birthday, he would have a health crisis.
Back in 2005, I was coming home from serving a mission for my church in Japan, and my dad and mom were coming to pick me up. I had lived there for 2 years and hadn't seen them in that amount of time. And about 3 days before they were scheduled to arrive in Japan, I received a phone call early one morning to let me know that my dad had been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And that because of that, they wouldn't be able to come to Japan and that they needed to get me on a plane as quickly as possible because we didn't know kind of what the future held. And so I was 21 years old at the time. I'm the oldest of 7 children. So the youngest was 6 at the time of my dad's diagnosis. And that is what ignited, I always tell people that's what started my grief journey is the diagnosis. Anytime you hear stage 4 cancer, mm-hmm. I think that ignites that process. But we fought cancer for about 3 years. My dad had a short stint, about 10 or 11 months with remission. And then it kind of came back with a vengeance. And ultimately, he passed away in 2008. And so being the oldest child, I was there every step of the way, kind of through his cancer battle, trying to fight through remission, trying to kind of stabilize his career, being there for my mom and all of the other children, definitely putting my needs on hold through that process to try and be the stable force for the family. And yeah, that's what kind of led me to the businesses that I've created. The other one, Heidi, that you didn't mention, but is I have a website called forgrief.com. And that
forgrief.com.
Okay. Yeah, and that evolved from the business solution side as I was dialoguing with so many grieving people and trying to look for resources and help for them, that was kind of where For Grief came about. And so I've kind of now dedicated my life's work to saying, how can I help? How can I use this tragic experience in my life to bless the lives of others? And it's been a phenomenal, incredible, amazing journey, but not without a lot of bumps along the way. And on this subject today, it's been 15 years since my dad passed away. And I even this year have had some major devastating things happen on anniversaries of death and on birthdays of the deceased. And it's amazing what the body can do. It does keep score and it stores that trauma. So anyways, excited to be here to have the conversation and just bring awareness and to talk about resources that can help.
It sounds to me a little bit like John is taking care of the world. John is care of his family, his mom, his family, probably still his brothers and sisters, it wouldn't surprise me, and trying to make them whole and trying to, you know, do all that. Is your body trying to tell you what about John?
For sure. Without question, which is good. I mean, you have to learn that lesson as you go about it, but it's interesting the things that we do as we try to cope with our grief. The body will still take over and take care of what is needed and give you those alert signals. So,
and I'm wondering, John, as the oldest of seven, and you had some young kids in your family.
Yeah.
When your dad died, did you feel like you were parentified? Did you feel like the world was saying to you, you need to be the man of the house, you need to help your mom now?
Yeah, you know, and I was actually newly married and had a 10-month-old myself. So there was a lot going on. I was in I think it was in between my undergrad and graduate school. It was the recession. I mean, there were so many things that were happening at that period in my life that just caused massive amounts of stress kind of to the system. But yeah, I felt like I needed to put my grief on hold. I didn't know what I needed to do because I was so young and inexperienced in that realm. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't, you know, when you haven't gone through it before, there's no way but through. But boy, I feel like I wreaked some major havoc, especially in those first 5 years of just trying to do it all on my own and just will myself into surviving.
So what does it look like when you have a crisis?
We know that grief is not this linear experience. It can go in ebbs and flows, and different things can trigger your grief at different periods in time. And everyone's grief journey is different. And I think as I've looked at my mother, certainly, but then my siblings, and as I've seen 15 years pass, everyone's experience with grief is a little different. We're experiencing it based on our birth order, our age at the time, our gender, our overall just mental health and wellness. All of those things kind of have wreaked different havoc. For me, you know, at the initial period, you know, what did that look like? I found myself, you know, sitting there, my drug of choice to kind of numb the pain was Ben and Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs ice cream, you know, and it was, my wife would see me every night. There was a deal at our local grocery store. And so I piled up on it. And every night I'd think I'm only going to have a few bites, and I would eat a pint like every single night. And that was the way I was trying to numb and cope with. I've learned from great experts that, yeah, the cream and all those things in there, it's a soothing mechanism. And it was, mm-hmm. I was looking for some type of soothing to deal with the pain of that loss that was so difficult. But yeah, you flash forward to even this year. So I have been immersed in this work of helping others. I have met with some of the best and the brightest in the grief space. And then this year on my dad's birthday and on his anniversary of his death, so one was in June and the other one was in September, for the first time in my life, I had two anaphylactic shock episodes that put me in the ER. And at first,
and what did those look like, John?
Yeah.
Oh, they were devastating. I mean, the first one, I literally thought I was going to die. And now I've learned that I could have because it was anaphylactic. And
what does anaphylactic mean for those? Yeah.
Well, it's when you have a very severe reaction to allergies. And so my body, it went completely into hives. My throat began to swell. My eyes were puffy, my feet, my hands. I then started having extreme chest pain. I started hyperventilating. I was gasping for air. It is a life or death emergency, and my wife had to rush me to the ER, and it was very, very scary to do that. And when that first happened, I knew it was my dad's birthday, and I had family over, and we had just sat down to have dinner in the backyard. And I thought maybe it just triggered an allergy, whatever I was eating, you know. Mm-hmm. So we looked at everything I'd eaten that day. But the funny thing was, I was actually fasting for the better part of the day. And so I sat down and I had a bite of salad, and that's all we had to go off of. But I went through major allergy tests, and it all came up with nothing. I was not allergic to anything. And so I had my EpiPen, because that's what saves you if you have another anaphylactic shock. But I became very nervous about flying or doing anything, because if I have another reaction like that and I'm not in a place that I can get the help, that could be very devastating. But then, yeah, you flash forward, I kind of went back into, okay, I'm not allergic to anything. It was just a freak thing. And then lo and behold, on the night of the anniversary of my dad's death, I was playing pickleball with friends. I hadn't eaten anything in a few hours, and I went into another anaphylactic shock episode. Wow. Something happened. We had to rush me to the hospital. That one was a little bit better because I knew how to breathe through it. I kind of knew what my body was going through, but nevertheless, I still had a physical reaction. And I've learned that your body, when it's trying to shed trauma, and I maybe have been holding on to it for 15 years, not wanting to shed it. But sometimes when you're trying to shed that trauma and kind of let go of that trauma, that is an actual physical reaction that your body can have to grief.
It's interesting that it's happening 15 years later.
For sure. You know, and after I've gone to all the doctors, the only answer we could get was I need to go back to therapy to figure out what's happening emotionally in my life that is causing this type of reaction. So the good news is I've been in therapy since September, you know, to try and process this. I haven't had any other anaphylactic shock episode.
I know this sounds really weird, but maybe you didn't have the luxury of grieving your father's death for the last 15 years because you've been on a fast track, taking care of your family and, you know, raising your kids and raising your, you know, helping your mom with your siblings. Uh-huh. And now your body's like, okay, we can do this now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you're right. Cause even on the business side, I mean, I've been creating these businesses since 2018. I'm immersed in it. Like the grief is a part of my work. And so there's an attachment to that grief probably that I can't quite shed because it's there. It's I'm looking at my grief on a daily basis. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but I didn't have the tools and the resources to be able to say, how can I then do this in a very healthy way so that not only does it help other people, but that I don't destroy my life in the process, right? And it's that careful balance. And I think I'm figuring it out with time, but it has definitely had the system.
I'm also wondering, are you coming up on the age that your father was when he died, or are you not there yet?
Yeah. And I have talked about that. So my dad was diagnosed at 43 and he passed away at 46, and I will be turning 40 on March 1st. And so as a father, as I see my children of similar ages to my siblings, I definitely, and I think this is common with father loss, especially from what I've read, I'm not an expert by any means, but men tend to kind of feel like that is now their new lifespan. Like I will live to 46 and that's it. So I got to get it all in before 46, because after that it could just obliterate, right? Now I can logically understand that that is not maybe what's going to happen. It could, but it very well may not, but even still internally, there is that panic, I think. And if I'm honest with myself, 100%, I have felt that without question.
So you were talking about tools. And I am thinking about the biopsychosocial. What do you do for yourself biologically? I can see that you're trying to think your way through this.
Sure.
And you have a lot of people helping you thinking. What are some of the tools that you're using besides thinking your way through?
I look at life, I don't know, we have different buckets that we try to balance, right? You can look at your spiritual health, your emotional health, your intellectual health, your physical health, and trying to juggle all of those. And So I look at everything from my diet, my exercise routine, how much sleep am I getting? What type of content am I consuming? What things are triggering? And I try to learn some of that of like, okay, maybe I'm not going to watch this show or that because it might trigger this or that. Like I have to look at all aspects of my life and identify when those triggers come and balance them. But it really is a holistic approach of trying to look at all angles, not just the symptom, right? The one thing that happens that might be the catalyst for some that ignites some change and changes that I need to make in my life, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
Have you tried meditating?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's hard for me to have my brain rest. I do well in active meditation, long bike rides, for example, through the canyons here in Utah, where I don't have any music, playing, nothing that's distracting, no phone. I'm out in nature, I'm quiet, but I'm actively moving my body. I tend to get to a more meditative state in that environment. Another place for me, within my faith, we have temples. And in there, I'm able to also not communicate, shut off the distractions kind of that are of the world where I'm not able to like go to my phone, my email, whatever pings and notifications are there, and I can be still and I can really then meditate and reflect. But it's harder for me to do it in the traditional sense of meditation.
It sounds like you do well in some moving meditations. And my mother's a golfer. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a golfer. I'm becoming one. So yeah, moving is, in golf, you can be in a meditative place because you're thinking about the golf,
yeah,
and nothing else. But I like the idea of getting out in nature, mm-hmm, and hiking, et cetera. Because yeah, people do think, oh, you have to stay still and listen to an app and, chant a mantra. And that's not necessarily how everybody does it. It's interesting looking at how your father's death has impacted you over your life course, mm-hmm, because it does impact us. If there's not a beginning in any of these things, they change. What do you think is the most difficult thing about losing a dad?
Everyone's different. I think for me, mm-hmm, probably the biggest challenge was the age at which I lost him.
Yeah.
I feel like I was a new father. I was just newly graduated, trying to figure out my career in a difficult economic environment. So I often, as I look at 15 years of just, there's no one that's been able to replace that person that I could call and, mm-hmm, ask for the advice and perspective and thoughts that knows me as a person and what I'm going through and could be able to coach me, through that. I think that that's the thing I always just long for, that I wish. And maybe it's just, the good news is he was a great father, and I think sometimes we glorify or glamorize the deceased as being these immortal, just perfect human beings that just did no wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I think he was human, but he really was a pretty terrific guy, and I would love nothing more than to have a few conversations with him at pivotal moments of my life. And I think he would absolutely adore being a grandfather. I have four kids, the oldest is 16 and the youngest is 8. And, my dad was an avid skier. So we go to Sundance and we ski. That's where everyone wants to talk about Papa and what an amazing skier he was. And so I often think he would love nothing more than to, be with these kids and to share in those memories. So there are things that you kind of have to do, on your own. I definitely feel him, in those experiences. And I'm grateful that I have a place that I can go because I don't like going to his grave, but I do love going to Sundance. I love that could be an alternative place that I can still feel him and still feel connected, and that my relationship, although very different from what I would like, it still kind of goes on.
Well, if you had one piece of advice for someone who's lost a dad and around your age that you did, what would it be?
I mean, what I often tell folks is that, the first 5 years after wreaked major havoc, I think I probably thought I could just will myself through this experience and that I could do this on my own and I didn't need help. Sometimes men can get really stubborn that way and just think that they can tackle it and they shouldn't be a baby that cries, right? It's like, I can do this. And I would just say that was the worst thing that I did for sure. And that I would seek help earlier. Therapy specifically has been very helpful for me at different milestones. I've done it on and off over the course of 15 years. I wish I would have done that much, much sooner. It's daunting if you've never been to therapy to find a therapist, because there's kind of this great abyss of options and who has time to just slow down and find one that's the right fit for you. But I think with some intentionality and asking for resources and recommendations, I found a phenomenal one that helped me immensely. And it was kind of from that point forward that I really felt like I was finally on the right track to healing. But again, it was 5 years that I can't get back that were really, really, really brutal on myself and my family, because I was just trying to strong arm my way through it.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And before we close the show, I want you to talk about your programs and what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. So in 2018 started, the first business was called the Domani Group. And we worked with funeral homes specifically. Having lost my dad and going through that experience, you kind of fall off of a cliff after the funeral. And I felt like I could help business owners help the families that they serve more. So I work with about 1,500 funeral homes, cemeteries, hospices, pet loss centers to provide these aftercare services. But after I started that process, and most of what we do is via text message, and last year we followed up with 300,000 funerals last year, one-on-one communication and conversations. But through that, about 30% of the people would ask for grief and bereavement resources. And so that was where I created forgrief.com, F-O-R-grief.com. And I'm not an expert in grief. I've just gone through it, and I am well connected to a lot of wonderful people that can help. And really what it is just a consolidated place, a good starting point, I think, for folks to find great resources. And so that comes in the form of live courses, webinars, recorded webinars, downloadable guides. And it's just a ton of free resources for people to at least start that journey there. And so that network continues to grow and expand.
Fabulous, John. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And your dedication to service is amazing. And I know that's culturally based.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, John, for having me on.
Love everything you're doing in your father's memory. And I know he is your guiding light and that he is really a big part of your life, even though he's not physically here. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
And we want to thank everybody for joining us on this show today. And Heidi and I always want to remind you that if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own. And God bless.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.